So we're all gathered here in the name of the Lord, and we're come to worship, and let's hear a portion of His Word this time. I've been taking lessons and teaching us through the book of Ephesians. I pray it's been helpful. I've not hurried through this. Major lessons to be taught. This morning we're going to be talking about putting on the new self from Ephesians 4, 25 through 32, if you have your Bible open there to that. This is the sobering part of where we've gotten to, and this is where your faith is going to meet God and be honest about things as we look through it. Because of the work that Jesus did on our behalf, it's all from the grace of God. God has called us to do three things. We are commanded to do them. And they're very serious things. If you look real quick in verse 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. First thing you're called to do is lay aside the old self, the old person. We dealt with this last week. Second thing, verse 23, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You need to renew your thinking. Third thing, verse 24, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Put on the new self. God provided him. Everyone who was baptized into Christ for forgiveness of sins, God has created with you and me a new self. The question is, will we put Him on? This new self is like God. And so, that's what He's calling us to put on the new self. Well, what would the new self look like? Well, we begin in verse 25, and he begins to explain this is what the new self is like. Verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Oh, what does the old self do? He lies. We really never gave a lot of thought before we came into Jesus. You know, little white lies. You know, we didn't think anything about being a little deceptive to people. In the new self, stop falsehood. Stop your lying. Why do people lie? Well, there's really a twofold reason why people lie. First, they either want to make themselves look better than they really are, or secondly, they're trying to cover up who they really are. And so when people begin to lie, they want these situations to look better, to be better in the minds of people, or they don't want someone to find out what's going on with them. Lay aside falsehood. Speak truth. You know, whenever you lie, you know what you're doing? You are asking an innocent party to follow your lie and believe it. You've invited them into your world of corruption. And you know, you think of it, we don't think of it that way, but that's what they're doing. Now, the one that believes it is innocent in the deal. They don't know you're speaking a lie. But to the one that speaks the lie, they're taking in people by deceit. And by the way, we just read back in verse 22 that the old self works off of the lusts of deceit. And so the first thing he wants us to do is what? Stop the lying. We don't need to lie to anybody. You don't need to cover up anything. And when we think about lying, is that righteousness? Is it holiness? Is it the truth? It's not like God. Any kind of lying, any deception that we say at all, who's the father of that?
Well, John 8 tells us, verse 44, that the devil's the father of lies.
When you start to lie, you deceive, and that you know you're doing that. Guess where you've just put on?
And then you've got places like Revelation 21:8. All liars are going to have their part in the lake of fire. All liars.
We're in Jesus. Put on the new self in the likeness of God and stop falsehood and stop the lying.
Well, there's one avenue. Look at verse 26.
Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. You know, I'm amazed how much Scripture involves our being angry. You ever pay attention to that? It's all over. God knows man has a problem with anger. And so he starts off and he talks about, be angry, do not sin. You know what anger does? When we get angry, it festers within us. And it starts growing a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger until you know what you'll finally do? You're going to react on it. You're going to react on your anger and you're going to do something. You're laying there and you're stewing about something and you can't get over the way someone treated you. And the next thing you know, time goes by, you get up, I'm going to call them or I'm going to go face to face with them and I'm going to tell them exactly what I think. Do we ever believe what the fruit of the Spirit is? Self-control. Get a hold of your anger. Anger's not the sin. He says it here, be angry and do not sin. The problem with anger, as we stew and as it festers within us, we're going to react somewhere, and when you do, sin is going to be born out of it in some way, some shape, some form. You know, when we're done wrong, and I know everybody in here this morning, you've been done wrong. And you're going to be done wrong again. And when someone does you wrong and it angers us, we haven't sinned yet. There's things that people will be unrighteous. People will be unfair. There's things going to happen. That's not the sin because we feel the anger. But then when the anger begins to settle in the mind, and then we get to deliberate within our hearts and we think about it and we think about the situation and how we've been taken advantage of. And the next thing you know, 6 months down the road and a situation comes up again and we explode on that. Months go by, a year goes by, and now you've been holding this thing in and there's where the sin comes. Be angry. Do not sin. You know what happens the whole time you've been deliberating in your anger? When you've been mulling it over, you've actually been declining. You are being corrupted. That's your old self. That's who you are naturally. And so, how do we deal with it? He says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't you let that sun set today before you've dealt with it. You know, people always say with your mate, don't go to bed mad. That's not your mate. That's your life in God. Your new self, Put on the new self, and don't you let that sun set today that you haven't dealt with your anger. Deal with it. And deal with it rightly. You know, a lot of times when we're angry, what would be the benefit of renewing our minds right about there? Put on the new self and start renewing your mind. What if you would start taking God's Word and just renewing the mind? And let God have access instead of being angry about this deal? But look at the rest of it. Look at verse 27 while we're here. And do not give the devil an opportunity. What do you think Satan is waiting on? He's waiting for an opportunity. When you and I are angry, how many of us think about giving the devil an opportunity at that moment? Nobody's thinking that way. You know why you need to be renewing your mind each and every day? You know why you need to be putting on that new self every day? Because you don't want to give the devil an opportunity, and anger is one of the best opportunities that you can give him for him to come to work in your life and let him be your master. Oh, hold this for a second. Come back to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. See, the moment you get angry and you start letting sin, where you start spouting it off, it's going to only grow worse. And the devil will take that opportunity every time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, excuse me, verse 13, he says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man." Now let's get this thing on right there, what we read. You're not in a special position that no one understands but you. Every temptation, when we're tempted to do something, to react on something, to say something, it's all common. Don't think that you're so special and you're being taken advantage of that no one else on the earth knows what I'm going through. No temptation has overtaken you but such is common to man. But look at the next few words. God is faithful. And God is faithful. Don't you be pitiful. Don't you act in pity and think that you're the only one going through that. You know what you need to renew your mind in and put on that new self? You need to understand in every situation, what about God? He's faithful. God is faithful. You know what God knows? Brethren, God knows our struggles. Oh, don't you think He doesn't? God knows what we go through. God knows what we encounter. He knows our weaknesses. He is very well acquainted with all of that. Well, he says, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. You know what God knows well about you? He knows your breaking point when it comes to temptations. When you're being tempted in anger, when you think you're going to have to go give somebody a piece of your mind, when you need to get something off your chest, you need to understand the faithfulness of God. And the faithfulness of God is that I know what you go through and what I won't allow you. I won't allow the temptation to be bigger than what you're able to handle. I know that, God says. And then he goes on to say, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Oh, I'm going to give you a way out. If you'll put on the new self, if you, when you get angry, don't you let that sun go down. Don't you sin. Don't you let it come about. I'm going to give you a way out when you're tempted. But you got to look at me. And you got to know, I'm going to be faithful. Now, you and I, when we get angry, what's the sin? Well, we're tempted to give somebody words from our mouth and let them know exactly how we feel about it. We're tempted to give them a piece of our mind, and some of us don't have much of that left to give, you know. But we feel good when we tell somebody off that has hurt us. That's sinful. And you don't want to do that. You need a way out at the moment that you're angry. And so, what do? You put off the old, you put on the new, and you renew your mind so God can lead you into who He is. And God's new self that He has created for us is righteousness, holiness, and other truth. And wouldn't that be better? Well, when you get angry and you do it the devil's way, guess who you're part of? Simple things. Come back to Ephesians 4. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. 28. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Well, I want to tell you what. That one verse expresses the very heart of what we're about. You know, if you came into Jesus and you were used to thieving, you took from, you know, maybe you didn't steal from stores and everything, but you were used to taking advantage of other people, stealing from them. You know what the new self says? New self says, don't steal any longer. You know what God wants for us in Him, every single one of us in Jesus? He wants us to labor with our own hands. He wants us to perform work with our own hands, what is good. And why does He want us to do that? So that we might have something to share with one who has needs. Christianity is about the sharing. The new self is about sharing. God is about sharing, not hoarding, not wanting for you. It's not about taking advantage. And, you know, I've known over the many years, there's people in the church, they just want from everybody. And they give nothing. This is what the new self is. Don't steal. Don't take from people what's not yours. But you need to work and perform with your own hands. And learn to be a giver, not a taker. Oh, see, we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind and put on this new self. This is what He looks like. Learning how to share. Learning to be givers. I'll tell you, I stay concerned for our younger families because I'm afraid some of our younger families have never been taught how to give. Only to hoard. Only to take. We need to learn to be givers. That's what God is like. God's not a hoarder. God's not a taker. God is a giver. And the very heart of the new self He created for you and for me to put on, learn to give. Well, I don't have much. That's not the issue. Be a giver. Well, let's keep going. Verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Stop unwholesome words. Brethren, I'm appealing to every one of us this morning. We need to have as a priority in our life when we're around others or our family that we stop unwholesome words. We let words fly without any thought of how it affects others. We live in a society that's steeped in sin, that's dead to God, and they don't care what kind of words fly out of their mouth. You know, we need to stop unwholesome words.
Now, we just got through dealing with anger and lying. Generally, when we get angry, what follows? A string of profanity.
And we don't think anything about it.
People just let loose of their words without any thought because they're mad. Now, you want to talk about giving the devil an opportunity through anger? You know why you need to knock that stuff off? Because it affects us with unwholesome words. And can, let me ask you, can you imagine when Jesus went through the temple and He saw what they were making, the temple in God's sight? And they were this house of merchandise, and they were just doing all sorts of irreverence toward God. And He said He began turning over the table. Can you imagine Jesus in the height of all of that using profane words? Can you? Do you think that's what He did? Can you imagine when He walks the roads and the byways and He looks over and He sees the people on a funeral procession, the lady lost her only child? You think Jesus would have turned and said, "Oh my God"? Think about it. You think Jesus would use the acronyms OMG like it's nothing and everybody around us throws it out? They're dead in sin. They don't know any better. You and I are in Christ and we're called to put on this new self and be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and we need to think about the words that we use. And I'm appealing to you. We got too many that just throw things out without any thought. The new self is like God. Righteousness. Holiness. Watch the words that you and I say. And notice what He says in 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment. Edification, build up the need of the moment. You're in talking with a group of people and they're all upset about something. You need to start thinking about what kind of words do I need to use to help this moment? And He says, so it will give grace to those who hear. You want to help the situation. You want to help the hearers that they can see favor from God, even though they don't deserve it. Help! Husbands and wives, man, I talk about this often. We get mad and, boy, unwholesome words start flying out of our mouths. We start talking about the ignorance of one of our mates. We start talking, you know, the stupidity of one of our mates. We take darts and we throw at them and we don't even care because we're mad at them. And, oh, devil's sitting there and he's, I love every bit of this. Yeah, keep going. They deserve that. Well, here comes another dart and the situation just deteriorates right before our eyes. And I'll tell you, that happens too many times and you're going to be looking at soon a divorce court. Because you've been hurt too many times. We need to learn to say words that are wholesome, that help situations, that build up, so other people can be held graciously to that. You see how much we need to be putting on our new self? Now, we either have a new self or you don't. If you're in Christ and you're not using your new self and putting Him on daily, you're dying. You're being corrupted. And your choice of words show it. Well, look at verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
You know why we should watch our words? Why we should watch our anger? Why we should stop lying? Because it grieves the Holy Spirit. God has feelings. And God feels greatly when He sees His children in anger and unwholesome words, in thieving and being selfish. He's right in the middle of all this. Don't you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know why this is so important? By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know why God gave you the Holy Spirit when you were baptized into Christ? That's the only way God can determine you from the lost world. The Holy Spirit is His seal on you. And that seal of the Holy Spirit is looking for the day of redemption. He's bought you back. You belong to Him. Don't you grieve that. Come back to chapter 1 real quick while we're here. Look at verse 13. Ephesians 1:13. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. There you were sealed. Here's why you were given the Holy Spirit. Verse 14. Who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. He was given as a pledge. God gave us the Holy Spirit. Here's the down payment I'm making for you. And I'm making the down payment of the Holy Spirit because I'm looking at your redemption. I've bought you back to me. You belong to me now. And you are mine now. And you go start grieving the Holy Spirit because you can't watch your language, because you lie, because you steal, because you're angry. And you grieve Him. And what if you put Him out? What if you push it to a point where the Holy Spirit says, I can't take, I can't live there. And you lose your seal? You lose your possession as God's? That's why that's in the middle of that. Don't you grieve, Spirit of God. You want to compromise your redemption, your salvation? You just keep grieving the Spirit of God. And I guarantee you, when you're angry, when you use unwholesome words, and every time you do it, it grieves God to no end. I am so grateful that God didn't just take us and throw us to the side at that moment, aren't you? But I want to tell you, you keep it up, and you don't think about changing some things, and you're going to put Him out. And then what do you have? Only thing you've got left is sin and death and the devil. And you can be part of that world again. And knowing that you've come all the way through your life and had the opportunity to be sealed for your redemption. And you blew it. Put on new self. I'm telling you, it's vital. This is it. This is where you are going to make it or fail right here. So am I. Well, look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. You know, when you read that list right there, let me ask you, how many things in that list are righteous? How many things are holy? How many of those things are the truth? None of them. That little bitty word that's in verse 31, that little bitty word let. You know what that tells me? Just like your new self, you allow it. Will you allow yourself that bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away along with all malice? You know what's amazing about these words? They're all interrelated in some way. Every one of them are interrelated. When you look at bitterness, wrath, and anger, these are just different forms of anger. They're different forms of anger. You know, when they're these levels that we have. When we talk about bitterness, I mean, when we're bitter at somebody, notice how long it stays with us and notice how it drives us away from that individual. Bitterness isn't anything good. And then he calls it not only bitterness, wrath, you know, wrath and anger. They're these two quick flashes that come to us. And there's where you may find your unwholesome words. And all of a sudden, this quick flash of anger, this quick flash of wrath, and we've said what we need to do, and now I feel better. You need to not allow that stuff to go on. You need not to allow that stuff to go on because all of these things stem from animosity. Something at work in us that's not good. And so we need to put them away from us. If you look at two other words in there, he talks about clamor and slander. Boy, I tell you, the clamor one has got my attention. When I looked at the depth of what it means, clamor is when you have an outcry at another person or a situation. And you're going to let them know you've got an outcry. I want you to know I don't like what you're doing. I think it's wrong. And I mean, that's clamor. And it all started with anger. It all started with bitterness. See, they're all interrelated. Slander. Slander is a result a lot of times of clamor. You've got an outcry, you've got a beef to pick, you've got something got you all worked up, out of shape, and so you know what? You begin to talk ill about another person behind their back. You want to destroy their reputation. And sometimes, my brethren, don't feel any shame over destroying another person with their words. People in Christ's body that He died for. You better let that stuff go. And then he uses a word there at the end, malice. That's a big one. Malice is where you want to hurt someone like they hurt you. You want to see them suffer. And when you're bitter and resentful at someone, and all of a sudden something happens to them, and you look at them and you say, yeah! They got what they deserve. That's malice. And why would we feel that way about another person? You better put on that new self and you better start being renewed in the spirit of your mind so that junk, that sin, those things that are against God don't start affecting you. And then he turns it to this. Verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. You see, when we do the letting of verse 31, it opens the door for God to bring in the things in verse 32. Be kind to one another. That comes from God. Be tender-hearted. Forgiving each other. Forgiving each other. You know what forgiveness does? It softens you. Always. You know what anger does? Bitterness. It hardens you. Because you don't care if that other individual goes to hell or not. So what? They did me dirty. I don't like what they said. I don't like how they went about this. And I'm angry about it. And there's no forgiveness. And I want you to notice that a person, when they hold to these kind of attitudes, they're not very soft. They're not tender toward. You know, forgiveness makes you tender. What happens if you're not tender-hearted and kind and forgiving? You're giving the devil another opportunity at you. Harden me up. And you know what? When people are not tender-hearted, forgiving, and kind to one another, do you know you are actually helping advance the work of Satan among a lost world? I'll be one of your workmen. There's so much hate and bitterness and things in this world. We know that. It amazes me how cruel people are. It amazes me that anytime you watch a sitcom on TV, you know what the sitcoms are based on? Cruel, unkind, hurtful jokes and words. And it's funny to the world. God said, yeah, that's part of the devil's acts. That's an opportunity he's taken to spread it to all this world. You're the redeemed. You belong to me. Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Did you know in Jesus you have, past tense, been forgiven? Does that not mean anything? God in Christ has forgiven you. And you want to be unkind? You want to be unforgiving? You're not going to be tender about things? Look across the aisles real quick. Just look around. Look at you. Look at all these people. And Jesus forgave them. And you won't? Oh, what's wrong with your heart? Why won't you put on the new self that's in the likeness of God? Or do you just rather be hateful and unforgiving? Is that what you want? Is that where this thing's headed? You would give up the blood of Christ just because you don't care for another person because they did you dirty. And we want to know why we're not growing and we're not moving forward. This is the new self. Put him on. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Learn to think like me. Stop the lying. Stop the thieving. Stop being angry with everybody. Get rid of that thing quickly because of where it's going to take you. Stop the unwholesome words coming out of your mouth. Work on it. Work on it. Work on it. Stop it. It has no part. And let all the bitterness and wrath and those things go. So God can bring within your being some kindness, some tender-heartedness, a forgiving spirit just as He's forgiven you. And above all, don't grieve the Holy Spirit by keeping it up. Because you lose the Holy Spirit, you may never get Him back again. And now where does it leave you? He's not a jack in the box. He's your seal. And God looks at you and I through the blood of Jesus, and all He looks for is His Spirit in us. That's my children. And my children walk with me. I want to help you and encourage you, and I pray it has. But I want us to think seriously about it. I want you to think seriously. I want you to make it to heaven. And you need to pay attention, and I need to pay attention to these words. May God bless the preaching of His Word. May He bless the reading of His Word this morning.